Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning, and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we are continuing our series on tithing versus giving. We've been talking about drawing some conclusions. Recently, we've been talking about why this is such an important issue. On the one hand, it's important right now because of the economic strain, the financial issues that are coming up in so many people's lives. And I do want to say that this is an opportunity for us all to look at the management that we've been doing of this resource. I think in so many ways we still continue to have some beliefs about the whole concept of being a steward, the whole idea that we've either got that notion that as sons of God we should never experience any difficulties in the financial arena, or that we should be living barely above subsistence. And my thoughts on that are simply put that, as in any area where you put forth an effort, you receive a return. If you're not interested in financial security or independence, you're not obligated to live a certain way. As long as you are taking care of your needs and the needs of your family. But we don't let others subscribe or set the boundaries of how we should live, that if we are making the effort, we have the right and responsibility of the return on our efforts. And this is true across the board. And it's interesting how there's this idea that if you work for God now in this life, if you minister to others, if you sacrifice, if you make it through difficult challenges, if you glorify His name and honor Him as walking a Christian life, if you put up with the person you're married to, whatever the situation in your life, if there's an expectation that you will receive some kind of compensation, a reward in heaven. And yet for some reason, we don't connect that to our receiving that here on this earth. And we often have this idea that it's an either or. That if you receive your reward here on this earth, you're not going to receive it in heaven. So we sacrifice now so that later we can live more luxuriously, have some kind of reward, and often we don't even know what that is. And we've talked often about our misconceptions. What if we had worked hard here on this earth and supposedly put up with people and things going on in our lives because we thought that was what God wanted us to do, and that if we did that, there would be a reward waiting for us. God would be pleased, and there would be something special or a recognition of some kind in heaven when we get to be in his presence. We've talked about how that idea of heaven not only doesn't line up with Scripture, if you're going to use Scripture as an authority, it does not line up with the character of God, whose nature is to give regardless of whether we've earned it or not. But I don't think we will be able to receive it as well than when we have an expectation that the only way to get something out of God is to earn it. God's idea of grace is he gives us everything we need for life and godliness now. And then we work for it. We work with it. We work around it. We work because we have received. So right now, whatever your situation is, you have received the kingdom and all the resources associated with it. It's yours right now. But you will have to work to learn how it works. If you are in need financially, for instance, and here I'm saying you have everything you need to meet those financial needs and beyond, you have everything that belongs to God, which is everything, is also belongs to you, which is everything. This is all yours. So you not only have enough for your needs, you have more. You have abundance. You have excess. Then how come we're living like this? How come we don't even have enough? Because we are working according to the wrong standards. We are not investing our time, our energy, our effort, our resources, our thoughts, our beliefs, ourselves into God. We have put off and separated out from our relationship with God. We've come up with our own ways of dealing with him, built on doctrines and teachings that we don't test. This is something that has changed my life a long time ago. The recognition, the realization that if God was God, he'd have answers for all my questions. He'd be able to make himself known to me where he would be real to me now. And that's what started my journey in my relationship with him, was it wasn't about purpose or overcoming something or questions, theological questions. It was, how do I know you? I want to be satisfied. I want to know you're real, and I want to know you love me, and I want to experience that now. For some reason, quickly, I realized that the whole idea of work now, reward later, is the opposite to God's nature. And I love the Old Testament, and there are so many examples of that. And the one I like the most is the two sons that were born. Let me see if I can remember it accurately now. One son was two sons, one son, I believe it was Jacob, wanted to marry the love of his life, but she was the younger sister, and her name was Rachel. And Rachel, he wooed Rachel, and Rachel's father said, if you want to marry her, you work for me for a year, and what you make will be your dowry, and then you will buy her. And so that he agreed to that, and he did that. And he went into who he thought was Rachel on the wedding night, and it wasn't Rachel. It was her older sister, Leah. But they consummated the marriage, if you will. And the next day, he saw the mistake, he saw the problem, and went to the father and said, well, it is our custom that the oldest daughter is married first, and Leah is the oldest daughter. But if you want Rachel, you'll have to work another 3 years or another time period. And he agreed to that deal. But guess what? He got Rachel right then and there. He received the love of his life. He received the blessing. After having worked so hard and was tricked, then, to continue working, he received what was promised. And we can look at that and see the difference between law and grace, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and the New Testament, where we work for something to deserve it, to earn it. That's law. Where if we do this, God will do that. That's law. That's Leah. But just like Jacob, we're tricked. And it's not what we thought. Because we still don't get the love of our life. But under grace, we receive the love of our life. We receive that fulfillment, that relationship, that knowledge of who God is and the experience of knowing Him personally and being changed by Him. And then we work. And this is all on a personal basis. So we, you, I, each one of us, whatever your question is, He doesn't want you putting it back to some other time, to heaven, till after you die and you see Him face to face. You can see Him face to face now. But Diane, there's that scripture that says, no man shall see God and live. Absolutely. Guess what? You've already died. You died 2,000 years ago when you saw Him face to face. But you were resurrected in Christ, and you are now seated in heavenly places in Him, beholding the face of our Father right now. There's nothing He has withheld from you right now. So we instead look at what is it that's holding us back from living a truthful life, ruling and reigning over our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and living as the sons we are now. When we look at the historical perspective over time of how people, the conclusions people have raised up regarding what God is like, what heaven is like, what his expectations are. How do we have relationship with God? Christianity, churchianity, religion. And because we have such a short scope of perspective, we think that the beliefs and doctrines and religion, Christian religion, that we experience has always been in existence. And nothing could be further from the truth. If we looked back at all the doctrines that have come and gone, all the beliefs that have come and gone, all the ideas that have come and gone, most of them being cultural, we would not see any at all comparison between, in other words, if we brought Paul of Tarsus into our day, he would not recognize our form of Christianity. In fact, by the time he died, he thought he was a complete failure. By the time he was killed for his faith, he had given up on the church. Because it was such a, it was so far from what was intended in the simplicity of devotion to Christ. And I think that's exactly the way God wanted it. Because he does not want us following a pattern or a form. Christianity is not something we do. It's a relationship we have. And just yesterday I was thinking back over some past experiences where in a ministry, the people who worked for me was also a pastor in the area and had come back from a pastor's meeting, was all excited that two of the pastors that had been attending this group for years, 3 or 4 years, had come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior during that meeting. And he just thought that was wonderful. And it was. But how appalling that these two pastors, and they both had large churches in my city, they'd been pastoring for decades. Between the two of them, it was probably about 40 years they'd been pastoring. And they had just now come to a salvation experience. And personally, I looked for change in their ministry, in their church, and I saw none. Because they had a role to fulfill. They had a job to do. You and I have some opportunities when we have a crisis arise in our life. Are we going to continue to do things the way we've always done them? Or are we willing to allow God to shake things up? To admit we're wrong in what we believe? To give up control? And we know how powerful that control is. That's the enemy that we ourselves must defeat through dependence on God. Again, we've got those three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil's been overcome. Jesus overcame the devil. Jesus overcame the world. But he did not overcome flesh, because he never had any. He was always dependent on the Father. That's the distinction between him and us. It's not in the power that's available or the access to the Father or the resources, anything. Everything that's that was available to Jesus is available to us. The difference between him and us is we have flesh. We have our own self-life as a crutch, that instead of depending on God, we've created our own crutches. And some of us are in wheelchairs, totally relying on our own strength and have crippled ourselves. When he has said, come with me, I'm going to not only teach you how to walk, I'm going to teach you how to run. I'm going to give you new legs. I'm going to give you wings. I'm going to show you how to move and live and have your being in the spirit, because you are a spirit being. And this is all simply because he loves us. Let's look at things from his perspective for a second. Why did he create you? No, it wasn't so he could accomplish something. He doesn't need our help. It's because his basic nature is to give. For God so loved, he gave. And our response is thank you, is appreciation. There's the old, you know, God, this is the gift God gave me. My gift to God is what I do with it. Baloney. You made that up. You believe that to suit yourself. That keeps you from having to ask him, Lord, what are we doing today? That keeps you independent or self-dependent rather than God-dependent. And that's what we're learning here, is God-dependence. We're learning to live like Jesus did. Not as a son of God in position, but reality. You're not double-minded until you become a Christian, until you are re-inspirited. Before then, you've only got one mind, and it's all about me. Me, 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 me. What's good for me? What do I need to do about this? What do I think about this? What do I believe about this? What do I know about this? Teach me. I want to believe what's right. We have control over everything about me. It's all about me. When we learn to depend on God, the me is still there. The unique individual that you are is still there. But it is totally consumed and subsumed and indwelt and dwelling in your spirit nature. You find your much more unique than you ever thought. You are much more valued as a unique person than you ever thought. God values you as the unique being so much that he has arranged every circumstance in your life to bring you to that realization. That you trying to control your life is keeping you from enjoying your life, your eternal life. It's a long process, but the freedom that comes, God knows what you need right now. And he's not the God of the law, where in order, he knows what you need, but he's going to use that as a motivator to get you to move, to get you to do what he wants you to do, to get you to work. No, he's the loving God of grace, where he gives you what you need so that you can be working on the things that he wants you to work on with him. This is why he gives you projects. This is why he gives you these circumstances in your life and the people, so that you can learn not how to overcome them, but every one of those circumstances is there so you can learn how to use the treasures, the tools, the resources God has already given to you. It's like he gives you a nail that needs to be hammered in. He gives you a loose floorboard, a squeaky floorboard. And he says, you've got a hammer in your toolbox. Go get it, and I'll show you how to hammer in, how to fix the squeaky floorboard. That's what those circumstances are in your life. They're squeaky floorboards. God wants them fixed, but he wants you to use the resources, the tools that he has provided, and he wants to show you how to do it. He doesn't want you taking off your shoe and whacking at it. Okay? It's only going to wreck your shoe, and it's not going to fix the problem permanently. And it'll pop back up over and over and over again. And what was an easy fix for God, when we depend on him just to do it exactly right the first time and we're on to the next thing, becomes an ongoing problem. And pretty soon the floorboard starts to warp and the relationship starts to get all out of whack. And pretty soon we have to replace the whole thing, the whole floorboard. And then it doesn't match. And then we always know it's there. So our goal is to learn to depend on him as quickly as possible in every situation. So for those who are in these financial situations, recognize that there's only one way to get more money for these situations, and that's to work more. To try to get it any other way, you are merely going into debt, whether it's to a person, to an institution, or to the world system. And we've talked about the world system before. Regardless of where you live, who you depend on is your slave master. And if you have a relationship with God, he will not allow you to be dependent on anything other than him. So you may think depending on the government for help is a temporary measure, but it's not. Because when we cooperate with our enemies, we are wounding ourselves. We are giving our enemy a legal right to interfere in our lives. Now, we can easily undo that, but recognize that the world system is your enemy just as much as the devil and his demons. Critters. We have no problem recognizing that that's an enemy, but the world system, depending on something social, even the church can be part of the world system, and depending on anything other than God is making us vulnerable to attacks from these enemies, subverting dependence and life that comes from God. So we didn't get too much further in talking about conclusions, but these are things we really need to look at and discover and realize how this one topic reflects so much of the error that has crept into defining and describing and living our relationship with God. So we'll pick it up there next Saturday. Until then, have a great weekend. This has been Diane Thomas, Prepare Radio. You can always get in touch with me at diane@wecanprepare.org. Thanks for tuning in.